Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, What Do All These Things Mean?
Pastor Lawrence, what does 21, 25, 26 mean? He said it's all over our school, 21, 25, 26. He says, what does this mean? And I knew what it meant because I had been on social media and it had been going around 21, 25, 26. So I could answer him. But it got me to thinking, are we really in tune with what's happening and then what's on the forefronts of our children's mind? Something happened in this school child's day that he had to text his pastor, and he probably texts me once or twice a year. It's normally about basketball. Let's go play basketball. And it's not Chris. It's not Chris Rue. But he said, Pastor, what does 21, 25, 26, what does that mean? And so in meditating, I said, well, I might need to talk to the congregation because I don't know if we're paying attention. And so if you'll indulge me for a few moments, I'm going to get to the ending of understanding what does these things really mean. 21, 25, 26. Within the last 12 months, we've seen the rise over America of a new and a different kind of government. Much instability in our leadership over our country. Soon after we had a new president, we had heard a lot about fake news and Russian collusion. Now we're staring down the face of North Korea, and their leader is saying, at any moment, I have you in my bullseye, America. This is within the last 12 months. New government, fake news, Russian collusion. Did the Russians determine who our president's going to be? And now we're staring down the eyes of a mad dictator. And I don't know if you guys remember during the Sony crisis when Sony's were tapped into, he said, we're not worrying about you, Sony, or America, because our soldiers are already on your soil. What does all of this mean? Stay with me. It's a word in my heart today that you need to hear. Soon after we had North Korea, and these things are happening so fast, if you don't pay attention, 25 things have happened and you're still going through business as normal. You think life is the same. You think we're living in the days of our mothers and our fathers, and that day is so far gone. Soon after North Korea began to fire ballistic missiles, in fact, it tested the largest underground bomb that has ever been tested. It was 100 times larger or stronger or more powerful than the bomb that was exploded over Hiroshima. 100 times. You still go to Hiroshima today, you can't grow anything where that bomb exploded. But they just tested one 100 times stronger. But you think these are normal days. Stay with me, Erwin. You think these days are normal days. Soon after North Korea, we had, and it started really before all of this, but we had the murdering of innocent black men by police officers. We had Charlottesville. We had Boston. Seemed like we was on the brink of a race riot. Somebody said, well, that's a long ways from me. Well, Baltimore City is now escalating a population of 620,000 people. It has begun to surpass the murder rate of New York City that has over 8 million people. They said one time, no city would ever outnumber New York City, but we don't even have 1 million people, and our homicide rate is somewhere around 262. They have 8.5 million people, and they somewhere around 150. After the escalating murder rate going on in Baltimore City, we saw Hurricane Harvey hit. Behind Harvey came a Irma and a Katia and a Jose. Not to mention an 8.1 hurricane in Mexico that's getting no news recovery. And I'm not even going to talk about India and all these places that are receiving massive flooding. That it ain't 50 people, it ain't 60 people, it's 200,000 missing. And the percentage of us are going on business as normal. What does these things really mean? When I got the text, as I shared with you, I really knew what it meant because I'd been in social media. It is in reference to St. Luke, chapter 21, 25, 26. And we can put the scripture on the board now, multimedia ministry. 21, 20, 25, 26 is in reference of St. Luke, chapter number 21, verse 25 and 26. So you got school children referencing a biblical view. A biblical worldview. What does St. Luke, chapter number 21, 25, 26, what does this say? It says, oh, I forgot we had a solar eclipse that ain't nobody talking about. And there will be signs in the sun, and there will be signs in the moon, in the stars, and on the earth, and distresses of nation with perplexity, and the sea with wavering roars, with waves roaring. Verse 26. Right. Verse 26. Over there. And men's heart will fail them because of fear from the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. What does these things mean? Father, we thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister for these next few moments. God, let me speak, oh God, as a voice, as a prophet to the nation. Let me speak that the poor people would hear. Oh God, that our hearts would be touched. Remove the stony heart. Give us a heart of flesh. There's going to come a moment in this service this morning that we're going to have to make a decision. Are we going to have a worldview, or are we going to have a biblical worldview? And when that moment is, oh God, arise, let us make a decision. Let every man be a lie, but let God's word be true. Thank you for what you've done today and what you're going to do. Speak, Lord, and your servant will hear. Amen. Give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And as you do it, we'll glorify your name. And all God's people says, amen and amen. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and in the earth distresses of nation with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts shall fail them for fear with the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then will they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now when they see these things begin to happen, he says, now when you see these things begin to happen, look up and lift your head, because your redemption draws nigh. What does all these things mean? Give me about a couple minutes, and then I'll be done. Welcome to a new season. Do me a favor, tell somebody, welcome to a new season. This will be a season of understanding. This will be a season of clarity. This will be a season of knowing what to do. Somebody said to me, said, this will be a season of understanding. Come on, talk back to me. Say, this will be a season of knowing. Come on, somebody said, realize this will be a season of clarity. Right? God is not the author of confusion. The people of God will not be confused in what's going on in this moment. What do these things mean? All right, so we won't be confused. Give me an ear, and I'll try to do my best to share with you what does all these things mean. When you look at the biblical passage, whole context of the scripture that I read, the heading of this section is self-explanatory. The heading of this section says the coming of the Son of Man. The heading of this section, if you would read, amen, the section that I just read, and you have a Bible that topically outlines different passages, it says, amen, this is talking about the coming of the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? The Son of Man is Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man. Very self-explanatory. As you read St. Luke chapter 21, one of the things that you first discover is Christ is doing most of the talking. If you have a red letter Bible, you're going to find most of these words in red. So this is Christ. And most theologians will tell you where Christ is talking, we ought to heed it even to being even more important. So Christ is talking. Somebody say that with me. Say Christ is talking. Right? So when he begins to talk, if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, he's talking about the Son of Man coming. And he lets us know real early, amen, what's important, all right? If you go back and you'd read the text in verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, it seems like a story outside of the text, but if you read the whole text, you will see how in text it really is. It talks about a widow that gives her all and gives more than them all. That's important. Somebody say to me, that's important. So whenever we see these things happening, 21, 25, 26, hurricanes, earthquakes, nations at war, amen, the first thing that Jesus starts talking about, a woman that has given her all. The rubber is starting to meet the road. It's time to give you all. This is not the moment to be lukewarm. Somebody do me a favor, squeeze somebody's hand and say, you got to give your all. Truth of the matter is, everybody going to know in the coming days whose side you on. Come on, tell your neighbor, you got to give your all. You got to give your all. So that means periodically I got to do a self-inspection. And I'm talking about, let me be clear here, I'm talking about giving our all to God. Making him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. You got to give him your all. First thing that Jesus begins to talk about in the text is a woman that gives her all. Ask your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, are you giving him your all? Y'all better please hear me. Please hear Pastor, amen. If you're not careful, something will woo you away and you give more of your all to that than you do God. I'm glad I got one amen and two or three amen. Other people looking at their smart devices. Other people looking at me. I'm probably talking to you. If you're not careful, something will woo you away and you will have 48 hours for this and 72 hours for this and 200 hours for this and you can't come to church from 10:45 to 12:30 without getting up, got to go. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. I'm going to try to share with you what all these things mean. Give him your all. Calculate how many hours you give to the job. Calculate how many hours you give. I take my children to football practice every day of the week. Calculate how many hours you take the children to football practice. And then note how much you read your Bible. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. It's going to be up in your face this morning. First thing that Jesus talks about in the text about the coming of the Son of Man, he talks about giving God your all. And I'm not trying to condescend. I'm not trying to throw off on nobody. But can we stop right here and rededicate ourselves? God, I'm going to give you my all. And those that wouldn't, I'm coming to you. Just stay right where you are. I don't know about anybody else, but this hour is making me saying, Lord, I want to give my all in prayer. And Lord, I want to give my all in fasting. Lord, I want to give my all in loving my neighbor. God, I want to give my all in loving you as a man, center and priority in my life. First thing that Jesus talks about in the text, go back and read it. He's talking about the Son of Man coming, but the first thing he talks about is, you got to give my all. Then he begins to speak about the destruction of the temple. He begins to speak about the signs of the time. And then he started talking about the end of this present age. He begins to address the disciples, and the disciples have many questions concerning his coming. And he began to address their questions, and he began to let them know, and there's going to be false Christ. Somebody said me, false Christ. He says they're going to be false Christ. Amen. They're going to be Jim Joneses. They're going to be people that are saying that I am God. All right. There's going to be false Christ. And then he began to talk about, amen, not only are there going to be false Christ, he said there's going to be bloody wars. Amen. And if you want to read about why there are wars, all you got to do is go over to James. It says you war because you lust for. Wherever we see war, somebody's lusting for something. Don't believe this foolishness. We want to protect the Kuwaitis. Absolutely, you want to protect them because they got oil wells. He said they're going to be bloody wars. He says they're going to be major catastrophes. This is Jesus. He's telling his disciples, the Son of Man is coming. I want you to give my all. But in the middle of you giving my all, there are going to be catastrophes. And this is the last thing he talked about. There's going to be unparalleled persecution against the church. He said, when you see these things happening, bloody wars, catastrophes, earthquakes, hurricanes, he says there is coming persecution. I need to tell somebody under the sound of my voice, if you are the redeemed of the Lord, you might as well look for to have haters. This is what Jesus says. He said there's going to come an unparalleled persecution of the believers in Christ. What does all these things mean? Last Sunday, when I ended, I really wanted to end in 2 Timothy, but I didn't get a time because we ran out. Because when you get to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 1 through 10, and if you get a chance in your time of study, you read about this, and I wish I had a little bit more time because I'd really read it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 10, he tells us what is the last day is going to look like. And I wish I had time because it starts talking about men going to be lovers of themselves. Children are going to be unthankful. People are going to be unloving, unforgiving. People are going to be despisers of those that are good. This is in your Bible. Jesus' last day. Now Apostle Paul talking to young Timothy. He said, in the last days, you're going to see the rise of evil men waxing worse and worse. He said, but in order for you to be thoroughly furnished, you got to understand that all scripture has been given by inspiration of God and is good for correction. It's good for doctrine. What is going to cause us not to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 10 is what we do with the scriptures. Are y'all still here? In fact, the most important thing, and I'm almost where I want to be, the most important thing that we need to decide right now, somebody said to me right now, is what do we really believe about the Bible? Y'all better please hear me. Your pastor is in a prophetic vein today. All right. The most important decision, I'm talking about with all this stuff that's going on, the most important decision that we can make right now is I'm not talking about what your mouth said. I'm talking about your core values, your core determination of how you live. What do you really believe about the scriptures? Are the Ten Commandments still good? America, are the Ten Commandments still good? Genesis, Revelation still good? I'm glad I got three of y'all saying yes. I don't know if you guys know that there has been an intentional deterioration of what we believe about the Bible. Two ways you form society, through philosophers and through kings. And you can go all the way back to Socrates and to the Age of Enlightenment. They have been trying to deteriorate what we believe about the Bible. And I need y'all to hear me today. You need to make a determination. I feel like preaching that right there. What do you believe about the Bible? Is it inerrant? Is it true? Is it good for teaching? Is it good for my children? Is it good in my relationship with my wife? Is it good with my relationship with how I live? Is it good for determining how I should teach my children? Do me a favor, talk to your neighbor. What do you believe about the Bible? I'm going somewhere, stick with me. If we are not wise, if we are not walking in godly wisdom, we will say one thing on Sunday, but we will live a whole nother thing Monday through Saturday. Somebody call me. Come on, do me a favor. Ask your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, what do you believe about the Bible? This is the most important part of my sermon. What do you really believe about the Bible? It affects your conduct. It affects how you supervise people. It affects what you say to your wife. It affects how you treat your husband. It affects what you do with your children. And I'm going to say again, we say one thing on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday. Okay, here's a good question. Who knows you believe in the Bible? Come on, y'all. Stay with me. Don't leave me. I promise y'all, I'm not going to be all day. Come on, y'all. Look at me. Don't look around. Don't look at your smart device. Look at me. If I would go get the 5 closest people that see you on a daily basis, would they tell me that you believe in the Bible? Oh, yeah. I saw her walking in Psalms 23:1 this week. Oh, yeah. She talked about 2 Timothy. Oh, yeah. She told me that the younger women ought to instruct the older women and not act like hoochie mamas. I knew that'd get y'all attention. The most important thing that we can do right now, and I promise you guys, I'm not going to be much longer. One of the most important things that we must do before we determine what these things mean, we got to decide what we believe in the Bible. Is it God's word? Has it been inspired by God? Is it good for instruction? See, guys, when you really believe in the Bible, you're going to do some stuff you don't want to do. And some stuff you really want to do, the Bible will constrain you. Okay, I wish I had somebody knew what I was talking about. You want to do it. You can do it. You have the ability to do it. But them scriptures keep pulling you back to the straight and the narrow. Them scriptures keep pulling you back to love. Them scriptures keep coming back to commandment. Them scriptures keep pulling you back to be thoroughly furnished and built up in the knowledge of the Son of God. Some of your coworkers need to be thankful that you're a Bible-believing person. Some of your family members need to be thankful that you believe in God's word and his power. Some of the people right around you, they think you're wiggling. They think they're just pushing you on. They think God getting over you. And it ain't they getting over. It's just you believe the Bible. And you just turning a cheek because that's what the Bible told you to do. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, what do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe about the Bible? My whole message is hinging and hanging on this point. All right? 3 questions. What does this mean? And how should we live, especially as believers in Jesus Christ? And then what should we be speaking in these times and in these seasons? There's around 3 views to answer the first question. What does these things mean, all right? And I want you to hang with me, and I want you to listen, all right? Because you're going to hear these things at your job, and you're going to hear these things with your coworkers. You're going to hear these things with your family, all right? When I get to the question, what do these things mean? Number one, multimedia, let's go. Number one, there are 3 views, right? What does these things mean? Number one, for some, these things, earthquakes, tornadoes, Mexico, 8.1 government in disorder, these things mean nothing. They believe all these kind of things happen periodically. They believe that life is going on as normal, and if you listen to them real good, they're going to keep telling you, life is good. What does these things mean? The first point of view that you're going to hear people say is, these things don't mean anything. They just happen periodically. And then they try to throw a Bible verse in there too. Everything, there's a time and a season. So they mean nothing, all right? You're going to have to deal with that. I'm talking about some Bible believers don't believe this stuff means anything. One of the saddest indictments that I heard this week, is a pastor say, this ain't nothing of biblical proportion. These just normal times. I said, are you retarded? You can't read your Bible and think this stuff is normal. You can't have been living and think this thing is normal. There are three hurricanes in the Atlantic tidal basin. This happened in 50 some years. So this can't be normal. If it was normal, it would happen every couple years. So the first thing you're going to hear is these mean nothing. This stuff don't mean nothing. I'm going on business as normal. So what you think? You just get hype about stuff. All right? Number one, that's the first thing you're going to hear. What do they mean? Nothing. The second thing you're going to hear is you're going to hear people that come up with logical explanations like global warming. There's a logical explanation to all of this. And then they're going to put behind that, if there was really a God, he would not have any of these kind of things going on, these type of disasters. If there was really a God, there's a logical explanation. There's a higher intelligence, but it ain't God. Because if he was God, he wouldn't allow these kind of things to happen because he would be a good God. So you're going to hear that they don't mean nothing. Then you're going to hear that these things have a logical explanation. Like global warming. What did I say? Warning. Global warming. Think global warming. They're logical explanation. But then the third thing, and this is where I believe us believers should camp out, especially the believers in the Holy Bible, that these things are a fulfilling of biblical prophecy. Are y'all still here? For us Christians, our explanation should be, these things are a fulfilling of biblical prophecy.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.